Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
For hundreds of years, anthropologists have studied the social relationships of human beings. And none have been more confounding than what they call the different strokes effect.
Get it?
Meet Jade Gulliver, a charmingly low-maintenance, amicable sci-fi fan and avid podcaster. And David Lim, a top model strutting, goldfish-loving, walking jukebox. So, can you handle the difference? Get ready for Different Strokes.
Because it takes different strokes to move the world. Yes, it does. It takes different strokes to move the world.
Culture. The attitude and behavior characteristic of a particular social group. Welcome to Different Strokes Culture, taking a look at society through the eyes of the camp and the geek.
I've got to admit, Dave, it's one of the most bizarre intros I've ever heard you make.
Well, I'm trying to be all, I don't know. I've tried very, very hard to not go down a path where I'm using Girls Aloud songs.
Yeah.
But I failed again.
No, but your voice, like, at the very start, it kind of sounded like, you know, in those sort of sci-fi type shows where there's some sort of automated hello and welcome. Like, that's kind of what it sounded like.
Well, that was kind of the thing I was going for. But any case, look, I know you're really excited to talk about the Babysitter's Club, but I think I got a bit carried away because you were talking about Tony Abbott, and then next thing you know, I wanted to talk ghetto.
Oh, okay.
There was a bit of angst in there, so I thought, let's just get this segment out of the way, Jade.
Okay, good.
Let's just shake things up a bit, and let's do talk ghetto, and then we'll go have a chat about the Babysitter's Club.
Oh, well, I'm sure everyone can hold on for, you know, just a couple more minutes on the Babysitter's Club.
I really would like to know who out there reads the Babysitter's Club. I mean, if you still read it, I mean, good on you, but if you've ever read it before.
I've got big news for people who are still reading it.
Oh, you better hold on to that.
I will.
In any case, girl, this is a segment I've been waiting to bring to Different Strokes. I feel like I've done this before. In fact, I feel like I do this every week because I feel that sometimes just throughout the day, unexpectedly, I can have very ghetto moments. Okay. It's not like, you know, I'm shooting somebody down or smacking someone, but I sound a bit aggressive sometimes. When I get a bit under pressure, I start sounding a bit ghetto. So, but having said that, I find that the ghetto slang, the way African-Americans talk, well, I'm not trying to stereotype. Of course, we're talking about African-Americans from a certain neighborhood, from a certain area, from a certain culture. So I really like that kind of accent. I'm really drawn to that. In fact, I've always said, if I could go on exchange to anywhere in America, I want to go to like Atlanta or something, you know, somewhere where it's really ghetto and, you know, people are sassy. Yeah. I love that kind of humor. I love the way they talk. It's just, it's so passionate.
Don't you feel like it's a stereotype?
It is a stereotype, but I'm drawn to that.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, because I grew up in a family that speaks Hokkien and Cantonese, okay? And I didn't realize this when I was growing up, but now that I've been living in Australia for about 11 years, when I go back and I hear my grand aunts talk, I'm like, there's something about the way people speak Hokkien. It's very passionate.
Yeah.
And there's something about the way, you know, people in Hong Kong speak Cantonese. It's very melodic. So I'm drawn to those elements in a language. I'm drawn to those elements in the way people speak. So in the same manner, I'm really drawn to how sassy black people talk. So I'm just bringing you something here today, Jade. I'm just bringing you a little piece of what I really love in the way people communicate. So it's like a cultural experience for me, mm-hmm. and I hope it will be for you as well. You see, the key to talking ghetto, although it's very much a stereotype, just play along with me.
Yep.
The key to talking ghetto is all in the accent and, of course, the passionate delivery.
Okay.
So it's a lot like Hokkien. If you're, you know, of Chinese origin, you probably know what I'm talking about. It's a lot like Hokkien. It's you got to accentuate certain words, you know. You got to say it with passion.
Mm-hmm.
Think sassy. Think hand on the hip. Think pouting and neck snapping. Like, mm-mm.
So,
okay, very good, Jade. That's a very good start.
Mm-hmm.
That's a very good start for, you know, for people that don't normally try to talk ghetto.
Yeah.
I always encourage them. If you want to pick up one or two things just to be more assertive in the workplace, somebody's treating you like a pushover, just go, mm-mm. I don't think so.
Do people really say that in the workplace?
I'm encouraging people to stand up for themselves and say these things. So, I mean, I'm drawing inspiration from a lot of very stereotypical sources, of course, like Niecy Nash from Reno 911, you know, yeah. that kind of character. Sherry Shepherd on 30 Rock.
Yeah,
she's very sassy.
Yeah.
Halia from Weeds, you know, these are like some of my favorite TV, you know, characters.
Yeah.
So once you've got down the accent and everything down pat, then you want to start thinking very closely about the accents, because the way I look at it is it's a lot like Chinese pinyin, okay? You can say one word, but it can sound very different.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you an example, Jade. That's, ooh, girl. And then that's, ooh, girl. Mm-hmm. See, we are saying the same things, but there's a difference. Do you follow me?
Yes, yeah.
There is the first one is disdain in the voice. It's, yeah. ooh, girl.
Yeah.
That's like, oh, what are you wearing? Oh, girl.
Yeah.
And then there's, oh, girl, I can't believe you got with that guy.
Is that excitement?
That is the excitement. That's the excitement. So, you know, there are different accents to it. There's a certain art to it, I think.
Yeah.
And then next thing, which is, I think, the most important part is you got to know what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a couple of common slangs that I've come across while I've been listening to music, while I've been listening, watching these characters that I mentioned before, words like shorty. Now I don't know what shorty means. It's not something I use in my day-to-day vocabulary.
Yeah, what does it mean?
Well, apart from the fact that person's short, which mm-hmm. it doesn't in this instance, it actually traditionally mm-hmm. used to mean a young man or a new guy in the scene.
Oh.
You know, other people in the scene would refer to him as shorty. But over the years, somehow that has changed to meaning a fine female.
Huh.
So you got to be very careful how you use the word shorty now, I guess.
Confusing.
I know it is, but run with me on this.
Okay.
And this is one that you will probably know, Jade.
Mm-hmm.
Boo.
I've heard people use the word boo before.
Yeah?
Yeah.
My boo.
Yeah.
You're my boo. I love you, boo.
Yeah.
You know, that means lover in a very unisex term. So, you know, girls can say it to their boyfriends, yeah. or, you know, vice versa. You know, say it to your girlfriend.
Yeah.
Call a boo or whatnot. And then you're probably familiar with this one. So there's homeboy and homegirl.
Yes.
Now, they typically mean close friend.
Mm-hmm.
But I've heard people use them in like a diss before, which is like a disrespectful saying.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, look at homegirl. She thinks she's all that. And that in that instance, obviously, I don't think it's used as in, oh, look at my best friend. She thinks she's all that.
Yeah.
So there's lots of different definitions, I think. But the more common and acceptable idea is homegirl, as in like, she's my homegirl, you know,
mm-hmm.
my close friend. And cuss, which I never used to understand. I would hear it in like some Mary J. Blige album.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd be like, what does she mean when she says cuss?
Isn't that a generic American term now?
Do you think it is?
Yeah, I think it is.
You spent some time in America. What do you?
I think it's definitely a crossover thing. I think people use cuss quite a lot.
Cuss.
Instead of saying swear. You know how we would normally say swear?
Yeah, don't swear. Yeah. They would say don't cuss.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I suppose it's saying don't curse, don't swear,
mm-hmm.
you know. Cuss.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I wasn't sure about that, but you know, I thought, okay, well, maybe that is, maybe that isn't.
Mm-hmm.
The other one is shady. Okay. Look, you're laughing at me like, yeah, I heard that Destiny's Child song.
Yeah.
You know, say my name. You're acting kind of shady. You ain't calling me baby.
Mm-hmm.
Shady. So usually that means acting dodgy.
Okay.
Acting in a suspicious way. But if you use that in a different way, so like, oh, throwing shade usually means that you're throwing like a very casual disrespect to someone.
Huh.
So think of it this way, is like you're throwing shade in my game. So you're saying something disrespectful about what I do.
It's like a whole other language.
It is. And that's what I find so interesting about it, because they're using words that I would normally use to describe a situation, which I find very colorful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one thing I'm really amazed with languages and with slangs and all that is people use words for different purposes. Mm-hmm. And I'm really attracted to that. Like shady, like I think if it's shady, okay, great, it's not sunny. You know, I would never think, okay, shady is in someone's dodgy. You know, I think it's a great way. It opens up your vocab. It you know, lets you use the word in a different way. Now the word hustler. Now this one I'm not 100% on, because I'm pretty sure as a prototype, hustler actually meant a word to describe drug dealers or anyone that makes their money illegally on the streets.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think a lot of people use the word hustler in a lot of different ways these days. Maybe not so specific.
Okay, so it's changed meaning.
I'll say so.
Okay.
Now, what do you think of the word diva? What comes to mind when you think of the word diva?
Some sort of pop star?
Yeah, I think Mariah Carey, I think Shirley Bassey as divas.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But if you're talking in a street sense,
mm-hmm.
diva is a female version of a hustler, as Beyonce would say.
Really?
Yeah, I know. I find it so weird because we have young divas in Australia.
Yeah.
And, I mean, Emily Williams can be ghetto, but... You know, like Kate DeRouge, she ain't ghetto. I can't think of that definition of diva and apply it to young divas. You know what I mean? They're singing It's Raining Men and I don't hear, you know, I don't hear ghetto in that. Yeah. So it's very interesting how we still use the word diva and how they have obviously moved on to use it in a different way. But one of my favorite words, and this one has been a main point of contention, Jade, is trifling. I don't trifling. Know. What, yeah. What do you think trifling means?
It is a kind of dessert. Trifle is a kind of dessert, right?
Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know.
Would you use it in that? I mean, you're trifling.
See, I've heard it, but I wouldn't. I see. This is the thing. I sit there and think I have no idea what that means.
But I would obviously, judging by the tone of the person that's saying it, if someone came up to me and said, "Oh, you trifling,"
I would think maybe you're crazy or you're out of your mind if you think that's true, maybe.
Yeah Look, they're all very valid reasons. I'm sure a lot of people use it in that in that way, but I think the original meaning of trifling
yeah
is supposed to mean lazy. You're trifling, you're lazy.
Mm-hmm.
or describing someone as sneaky or okay. conniving.
Mm-hmm.
So they're all valid options, but you know, the word has been, you know, bastardized these days. Everyone uses trifling for a different reason.
Mm-hmm.
But I still find it interesting because I don't know if that word exists in a sense that we would use it on a day-to-day basis.
Mm.
Like you say cuss. Cuss is something we borrow and we use.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure about trifling. Now, I'm just wondering, Jade, for just when you're picking up these words, do you feel that it is easier to use one word at a time and inject it in your everyday sentence, or do you feel like it's easier if you learned a whole phrase instead?
I think either is going to be difficult for me.
For real, okay. Because rather than, I mean, this is just a little tip.
I'm unlikely to say girl anytime soon.
Oh, it's not girl, it's girl.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Girl. Yeah, you know, step one, you got to say it with sass and with passion.
There's got to be a growl involved.
There's got to be a growl.
That did really hurt me down low.
So it's like girl, or rather than saying girl,
yeah.
Put it in a phrase. Be creative, guys. Think, mm-hmm. girl, that's nasty.
Uh-huh.
Oh, you know, it's...
But see, then the accent comes in. Why would I want to talk with an accent?
I think it's just... Okay, put it this way. When I was in Hong Kong...
Yep.
And I was... Because I grew up speaking Cantonese.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But because I grew up in Malaysia, the Cantonese sounded different.
Mm-hmm.
So there were lots of things that... When I was hearing how people in Hong Kong speak Cantonese, I just go, oh, this is very different. But now... When I think of speaking Cantonese, I think of the way Hong Kong people speak it. So I'm just like, okay, let's do it like their accent, because it's so much more melodic. It's so much more passionate. So why would you say girl when you could just say girl? You know, it's just, it's more passionate. It's all about the sound. It's all about the passion for me, Jade. So
okay.
Even if you just borrow that word, just say it with passion.
Okay.
Say it with a bit of passion.
I'll practice at home tonight.
In any case, Babysitter's Club.
Yeah, okay. So from ghetto to Babysitter's Club, Dave, do you know nothing about the Babysitter's Club?
Okay, I vaguely know it because I've seen it in bookshelves.
Yes.
I've seen it at, you know, your bookstores and everything when I was growing up, but I've never read it.
Okay. So it's basically a series of children's books. It started in 1986. I was just starting to read at that point. Mm. I was in preps or something. But I don't think I read it till I was, you know, just a little bit older. But the basic concept of the Babysitters Club, whether there were four members, there was Christy, Stacey, Claudia, and Dawn.
Dawn, look at that name.
And Marianne. Oh, there was five members.
Dawn and Marianne.
Yeah, so, and Christy was the tomboyish one.
So how old are these girls, ladies?
See, this is what I found really funny. I always thought of them as much older, right, when I was reading the books, and I'm sure that they must have mentioned their age. But when I was doing research on how old they were today, they were supposed to be 13.
Oh, okay. Well, if you look at the covers of Babysitter's Club's books, yeah, they're all like kind of in that 13, 14 age.
I guess like I kind of think of 13 as too young to be running my own business, but then, you know, am I like limiting them?
Oh, let alone looking after kids.
Yes.
Please.
And, you know, and they were so professional. They all had official titles. You know, it wasn't just like some random group of people. They, you know, there was the president, which was Christy, the tomboy.
Mm.
And then they had the vice president was Claudia, you know, the artsy fartsy one.
Okay.
And then they had the secretary was Marianne, who was the shy, sweet one. And then Stacey was the money lady.
Okay, so yeah, all four of them there are actually babysitters?
They're all babysitters, but they were all a club.
They had their own role in, yes, the business, so to speak.
Yes.
So, okay.
So they had their own role. They would meet, you know, every like three times a week or something, and they would discuss all of these their issues, including, you know, babysitting and organizing.
What about boys?
They would discuss boys. Oh. And see, later on, and this is what I found really weird. They were like 13.
Okay, so they had boy troubles at 13. Okay.
Maybe I'm getting old, but oh, I think that 13 is too young. But okay, so they started with the four original members, and then Dawn came along. Dawn moved from California. And she was the new one that came into the series as well.
Mm.
But then they had another two junior members that joined a bit later on, Mallory and Jessica, and they were 2 years younger. They were like 11. What are 11-year-olds babysitting for?
You know what? My 11-year-old brother, he's turning on 12.
Yeah.
Can't even like microwave food for himself. I don't think that's believable, but you know, girls do mature, yeah, quicker than boys. So
it was anyway. So it was kind of it was a weird situation. Like The Simpsons, though, mm, they were frozen in time.
Okay, so they never got old.
They just didn't get old.
Had plenty of cases and boys to talk about.
They said that initially they were in the seventh grade, so in the first sort of 10 books, and then they moved up to the eighth grade. But then after that, they were stuck in the eighth grade forever. The series eventually ended in 2000, and they graduated from middle school.
Mm-hmm.
But news for people who love The Babysitter's Club.
Okay.
In April 2010, so next month, the series will be reissued with updated versions of the first two volumes of the original series, as well as a newly written prequel.
How about that? How about that for our timing? Come on, you got to give it up to Different Strokes.
Perfect timing.
Yeah.
Do you want to hear about the hot boy?
What hot boy? That was like a main male protagonist?
Yeah, so okay, it was all controversial, right? Because the Babysitter's Club was all girls, right? And then along came Logan Bruno, who was this dude who moved from Louisville, Kentucky, and he was all dreamy or whatever. He later became a love interest for Marianne, the shy one. But there was, you know, there was all this controversy about whether we're going to let him into the Babysitter's Club.
Was he a babysitter?
He was. He eventually became a babysitter. He became an associate member. So they all had titles. They all had their favorite people that they had their favorite charges that they liked to look after. They all had their very different personalities. It was quite nerdy.
I love it. Look, it sounds like something I'll get into now, but we have an SMS here from Andrew saying that, mm-hmm, every week my sister used to go buy the TV series when a new volume would come out.
Yeah.
And he said he even remembers a song.
Oh, yes.
It.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not going to sing it for you, but I do remember it also.
And apparently there's a movie.
There is a movie.
Oh my God.
Do you want me to tell you about the movie?
Oh, my God.
So the movie came out in 1995. By this point, I was pretty much long past the idea of the Babysitter's Club because, you know, I was getting into being a late teenager or mid-teenager. But it had some interesting people that you might recognize in it.
Okay, Rachel, hang on, stop.
Yes.
What year was this movie made?
1995.
Okay.
Rachel Lee Cook was in the movie.
Mm.
Do you know Larissa Olenek?
Should I?
She was in 10 Things I Hate About You.
Oh, no, Jade.
Yeah. So there's...
I'm really bad with actresses
and movies.
There
were really young versions of this. Anyway, and then there was the dude who was in My Girl 2 actually played Logan Bruno in the film.
Where are they now?
Where are they now? I don't know.
Well, I reckon if they make a 2010 movie,
yep,
that will be great. Justin Bieber can be in it.
See, I always hear about Justin Bieber, but I know absolutely nothing about him.
I don't know. I don't know nothing.
Keep it that way.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I don't want to like say something make me sound ignorant, but he's some twink, some little kid that's singing and is, yeah, apparently going to be the next sensation. But we've got an SMS from Mark saying, "Love the Babysitter's Club, best series ever. Don't read it now, though." His favorite was the super specials.
Yes, yeah, so I should have mentioned, Dave, that there were different like version. There were different sort of books. There was the super specials. Then there was readers' requests. You could request, Dave. You could make your own request. Mysteries and super mysteries, portrait collections. There was the Babysitter's Club Friends Forever, which was old school, 1999 to 2000. That's long past my time.
Oh my god!
And then they had a series of spin-offs after that as well.
Did the spin-offs do any good? No?
Not that I know of.
No. It's like Friends, you know.
Yeah.
You got to let it go.
Give it up. Give it up.
Yeah, don't do a Joey.
Apparently there were graphic novels and everything, Dave.
Oh, graphic novels. Oh my God. But we've got an SMS from James. There's a lot of love for Babysitter's Club, I have to say. He's saying that, look, it's a great show. He says he's loving tonight's show.
Yeah.
Great flashback. And, yeah, it's another classic TV show with a classic theme song.
See, I've got to confess, I didn't actually watch the TV show. I read the books and I've seen the movie and that's about it.
I feel like I need to YouTube the theme song now to get everyone is talking about.
You have to do it, Dave. You have to do it.
Maybe I owe it to myself.
Yeah.
You say that it's about pop artist booth character.
Pop artist booth character.
Forget what you've heard. I do listen to Strummy-la-la music, as I like to call it.
Get ready for a Different Strokes take on music.
This is Different Strokes on Joy 94.9 with Jade and Dave. Okay, Dave, there's been a lot of hype in the indie world this week.
Okay, what's up with this person? Is it a duo? What is it? Who's she and him?
Okay, so She and Him is a band. It's two people. It's a duo, if you will. Zooey Deschanel, you may know her from 500 Days of Summer.
And she was in
Alf.
Was she in Weeds as well?
She was in Weeds. She was Andy's crazy ex-girlfriend.
Yeah. That was the first time I ever saw her in anything. Yes, so yeah. I love Zooey Deschanel. I didn't know she sang.
Yes, so she sang. And she's teamed up with M. Ward, who indie people probably know for his solo work as well. So they have this sort of, they're kind of indie folk, I guess, you know, a bit country. And they released an album in 2008 together, and they kind of did, you know, a small mini tour that mostly revolved around going to South by Southwest Festival, which, do you know what South by Southwest is?
No.
It's like a huge indie music festival in Austin, Texas, and it's just huge. Like, you know, it's thousands upon thousands of gigs played, you know, over a series of days. It's, you know, it's a really good sort of people use it as an opportunity to springboard into markets and get heard. And yeah, so anyways, that was South by Southwest. So in any case, they've just brought out their new album. It's very, 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 very new. It came out 2 days ago, Dave.
How new, Jade? How
2 days. Very, 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 very new. It came out 2 days ago. I never do things 2 days old.
But lately you've been like really on the pulse of everything.
Oh,
and
I
you know what's amazing, Jade?
What's that? That
I call this a Different Strokes effect, right?
Okay.
Because
I was never on the pulse and now you made me be on the pulse.
No, no, no. I'm saying every album we've reviewed the following week, it's become big.
The Different Strokes bump?
Yep.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe our listeners are just listening to what we've got and going out there and getting it because, you know, we did that with Cheryl Cole's album and the next week without further notice, bang, it was out in stores, the album.
Yeah.
Mysteriously, Universal Music Australia decided
even though
time.
It was only supposed to be released in undetermined amount of time. Yeah.
Yeah, like it wasn't meant to come out in March, but, you know, who knows, maybe this album would be very big this time next week.
Maybe. I don't even know, I'm not sure on an Australian release date because I bought it out of an American site. It was released in America the 23rd of March, which was 2 days ago. So I'm not even sure if it's out in stores yet. If you happen to know that and you want to let me know, feel free to do so. So the album's called Volume 2. I've had quite a few listens to it, Dave.
Mm. Have you heard Volume 1?
I haven't heard Volume 1.
Okay, so there's no point of reference for you, really? Or?
No, not really. Is that important? I've heard bits and pieces of their songs before, and yeah. They did a cover of a Smith song for 500 Days of Summer soundtrack. So I've heard them together before.
Oh, okay. So but you know what they sound like.
Yeah. So I knew what they sounded like. They are very, I kind of, so there's 14 songs. I always feel spoiled when I get 14 songs on an album.
That's a lot. That's generous.
Yeah, it's very generous. They've got kind of a, like, I felt like it's kind of an old classic type feel.
Oh, no. You know. Like gramophone with a record kind of feel?
No, not that kind of thing, but more like I kind of imagine black and white images everywhere. Like, you know, they're walking around in slow motion in black and white. Like, they're just so elegant. You know, it's kind okay. of, it's very, very twee. It's very chilled and kind of laid back. It's kind of, I feel like there's a lot of reference to old time stuff, you know. It's okay. It's very kind
in
of
the lyrics or
just the style. It's yeah. not, you know, it's, I mean, it's folk music. Mm. It's not it, but it's kind of old. I feel like it's old school folk. It's not like, you know, there's not a much.
So give me a point of reference, because as someone who doesn't listen to a lot of folk music, tell mm-hmm. me, Jade, I know Lisa Mitchell's music. We just played her tonight. Is mm-hmm. she new school folk or is she old school folk?
I would probably say she'd be new school folk.
Okay, so I think, like, she and him would be quite different to Lisa
I
Mitchell?
I think, and why I would probably say that is I think Lisa Mitchell, the way, you know, her production and everything is very, it's suited to kind of having a mainstream crossover, whereas mm. I don't think this would ever have a mainstream crossover.
Oh, okay.
I mean, she's quite famous in the indie, you know, movie world, mm. but and that might give them some attention, but I don't know that they would get, you know, they're not going to be, you know, number one or anything like that.
Oh, okay, not in any charts that yeah. people tend to talk about anyway.
Maybe in the indie charts.
Yeah. So, okay, Volume 2 is their new album.
Mm-hmm.
And what are your thoughts on a couple of the tracks so far?
Okay, my favourite tracks so far are Lingering Still.
Okay.
Me and You.
Me and You, which we will play, yeah.
Yep. Home. I have it on good authority that Over It and Over Again is a good track. I really liked all of them.
Okay.
I really like the album. It's a good album. You know, I like
kind you like of, your Strummy Lala. You yeah. like music that you can, you know, cuddle up to and
exactly.
snuggle.
Exactly.
Snuggling music.
I love that kind of thing. So I really like the album. I like that kind of snuggly, warm mm. feel.
You talked this album up so much. Oh, I just want to hear it.
Okay. Can I tell dying. You one thing,
yeah,
though?
Yeah, tell me.
Exciting news is that they're going to be touring in 2010. They've announced all these American dates and these European dates and all this kind
oh,
of
how
stuff.
How about Australia?
No Australian dates as
oh,
yet.
Oh, okay. So, well, Zooey Deschanel, if that's how you want to play, girl, okay.
Yeah, so tweet it up and, like, try and get her here.
Trying to get her here. Well,
we might be more successful in doing that than we are in getting Michelle Williams, I'll tell you that much.
Let me just say, on the record, I'd like to have Zooey Deschanel here more so than Michelle.
Really?
Yeah. I love Michelle. I love Destiny's Child, don't get me wrong, but is Zooey Deschanel, baby? You
yeah,
know?
I know. All the lesbians would be knocking down on doors. Crazy.
If they aren't already because of you, Jade.
No.
You're listening to Different Strokes on Joy 94.9. This is where camp and geek collides. Let's have a listen to She and Him, Me and You. Oh, this is nice and mellow, Jade.
I told you.
Oh, you want to cuddle?
Yes. basically zero time left, Dave.
I know.
It's ridiculous.
But that was a beautiful song, that was, Jade.
Yes.
That was She and Him with Me and You.
Yes, it was.
It was beautiful, Jade. I love it. Thank you so much for bringing this album to my attention.
No worries at all.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.